Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/prenatal.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
Everyone, and welcome to a brand new episode of The Wrap right here on the Viking Media Network. Happy Tuesday morning to you all as we begin a brand new week in WWE, as we are a few days away from the King and Queen of the Ring, PLE, going down live in Saudi Arabia. I'm Keela Cash, and by my side, as always, is my co-captain, my right hand, the sometimes advocate for the rapidly improving Miss Jada Parker from NXT. I bring to you back on The Wrap, as always, the one, the only, Salty Scott Young. Welcome back, Salty.
Thank you for having me, Keela. As always, it's a pleasure to chop it up and talk all things WWE. I'm excited about the conversation we're going to have. The Yeet movement is over, but the King General is around, and it will. His reign seems to be beginning with a triumphant, loud thud.
Now, sir, are you proclaiming the end of the Yeet movement after one match?
As far as his chance at being King of the Ring, 100%.
That is a good point. We'll get to how the Yeet movement fell a little later on in the show, but I do want to touch briefly on the NBA playoffs, because I do get the feeling that you might be a wee bit disappointed about how a certain series went last night.
Nah, I'm cool with the Nuggets losing. I'm cool with Ant-Man getting that. I'm not a big fan of the front runners, the front running Pacers, but you know, it's one thing to wear a shirt before the game, but it's another thing to wait till the game's over to wear a shirt after you beat a team with 8 injuries and their best player gets injured in the third quarter and can't come back and play. So it's just a whole different ball game than beating the defending champs on their home court in game 7 down 20. And your best player shoots 6 for 24. So it's just, there's just levels to it. You know, Ant-Man's been talking that talk, whether he's, you know, got 40, whether he's got 10, he's been talking that talk. Locks down on defense when he's not scoring. So yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed everything about that. Just not a fan of the Pacers, so, but it's not like we got to worry about them.
Okay. So I can feel the shade from here. So I guess you got Boston in what, 5 games potentially?
Sweep.
Oh, sweep. We will see. We shall see. I don't sense sweep. Maybe 5, maybe 6, but we shall see. And who you got for Dallas and Minnesota?
I'm sticking with, I got Dallas. I've been rocking with them since the Lakers lost, and I'm sticking with it. I as good as Minnesota is defensively, they don't have an answer for Luka. Ant-Man can guard Kyrie, but they don't have anybody big enough to guard Luka, and the two people who are big enough to guard Luka aren't quick enough to guard him out in the perimeter. So he's going to be a matchup nightmare for them. You can't put big slow on him because he's too slow. McDaniels and either one of them, they're too small. He'll body them, and Gobert and Cat, he's just going to do whatever he wants with them. So I like Minnesota. I like Dallas. I think they got everything they need. And if Tim Hardaway can just do more than get cardio, they got a real good shot.
I love Minnesota. Love the Wolfpack. Leaning towards Dallas, too, because I think it's Luka's time. This is his opening to make the finals, potentially win it all this season. So we'll see. He's got the team. Kyrie has been excellent during the playoffs. We'll see how it goes. But I expect two really fun series, and maybe Minnesota and Dallas will go the limit once again, 7 games. I can sense that. As for the Pacers and Boston, Boston should win this series, but I do want them to be a bit challenged. They kind of got through easily by way of Miami and Cleveland. Hopefully the Pacers give them a challenge for a couple of games. We shall see about that as we're inching closer to the NBA Finals in a few weeks' time. As we get to now, the WWE of it all, we're going to bypass NXT this week. There was really nothing to talk about of note. I was kind of like, it was a show. It existed. Nothing really happened there as they continue the build, I suppose, to WWE Battleground or NXT Battleground going down at the UFC Apex Arena in a couple of weeks in Las Vegas. But yeah, NXT, Scott, is just a show.
Yeah, it's there. It's a place to get reps, let's get some reps on TV. We're in a bit of a muddled transition period. We've got some good things going on with the North American Championship. So that division, what they have going on is pretty good. Oba's a gem right now in the entire show. So everything that he's kind of got in messing with and that whole big man battle with Wesley thrown in there is, it's actually a pretty good mix, but everything else is just kind of throwing stuff to the wall. And HBK is doing what he can. It's not like he's got the wealth of talent to just put out there and create these intriguing stories and matches. So he's doing what he can with what he has. But outside of the North American title division, there's a lot left to be desired.
No doubt about it, for sure. It's just a show, nothing really there. Outlandish characters, the mob getting away with numerous crimes. Ava gets to payday, $20,000 fine paid up by Tony D'Angelo. And then here's a little extra to clean up the office a little bit. So she's in on it too. So we co-sign on referees being kidnapped and paid off and straight up kidnappings in the parking lot. So NXT Mob Wars is fair game with Tony D now the Heritage Cup champion.
Yeah, Tony D's a good champion. This fits his style. He's got a very strong amateur background, and everything about this fits the rounds. He's got his family. This title and the way it works actually fits really well with this character.
Yes, it does. So that was enough talk for NXT this week. Hopefully it'll be a little bit better heading into Battleground in a couple of weeks' time in Las Vegas. But let's get to the continuation of the King and Queen of the Ring tournament going down on SmackDown this past Friday from Jacksonville, Florida. We kick things off with Bianca Belair versus Tiffany Stratton in a semifinals match on the SmackDown side of things for this opportunity to face the Raw side winner when it's all said and done this Saturday at the PLE. And I thought this was an excellent match. I kind of wanted to see Tiffany and Bianca Belair go at it for quite some time now, and it lived up to expectations. I love their chemistry, love the physicality, love the near falls. The crowd was into everything in this match, which I appreciated. And it ended up being Bianca Belair coming through with the KOD on Tiffany Stratton to move on to the next round of the Queen of the Ring tournament. Tiffany loses nothing by losing this match. Her time will come, but Bianca Belair simply had a bit more left in the tank, despite still selling that knee injury that she suffered a week ago from courtesy of Candice LeRae.
Yeah, they have a real good chemistry. There almost seems to be a little bit of a little extra oomph on some of the punches, especially the beginning, the way Bianca was just kind of manhandling Tiffany, just kind of be like, hey, just so you know, if I want to, I could leave you in this corner and there's nothing you can do about it. And it just kind of, it felt like a little bit of, and when she hit the flex, it felt like, yeah, there's nothing you can really do about this. The match was really good. Me personally, I was kind of hoping for Tiffany to win, but Bianca is, for better or for worse, she is the John Cena of that division and just does not take random pinfall losses. And it does keep her special, makes her special. When she does lose, it's a big deal. It's a surprise. Even when she gets cashed in on, it's still a surprise when she loses. So they've done a good job of protecting her and making it so when somebody does have a match like this, it means something because she doesn't take those losses. So Tiffany will be fine. Her time is coming. Could be a Money in the Bank favorite, or at least should be one of the favorites coming out of that. But next week, we got a... I think Bianca's got a real good opportunity to, or this coming week, I should say, she's got a real good opportunity to show a strong feat of strength, depending on where they want to go with the finals of this tournament.
Exactly. And that could be her biggest feat of strength to date. And we'll get to that matchup a little bit later, but let's get to LA Knight versus Tama Tonga and another semifinals match in the King of the Ring tournament. This match was just all right. I have to talk about what I heard from Tama Tonga before the match took place. I was looking down at my phone and I just heard noise. I heard noises and I didn't know where it was coming from. And it was from Tama Tonga. And I'm like, oh no, oh no, 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 please don't. I was not here for the Tasmanian devil sound, Scott.
Oh, I thought it was one of those bug eaters that the old country folk have outside. So I had to go make sure that, I just had to go make sure I didn't have a light that was fizzing out or something out on the porch. You know, I had the deck light that let the dog out. So I just didn't know if like one of those was going out or what's going on here. Whatever that was. So, if he needs to do that to get it out of his system, so it's a one-time thing, let's go ahead and get all that out. Somebody told him to spaz out, and I guess that's what he thought to do. So here's that.
It was something. And I know the Red Lobster is going through some tough times right now, you know, filing for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. Hopefully they can come through. But I am rescinding 10 cheddar biscuits from Tama Tonga for whatever that sound was on Friday Night SmackDown prior to his match against LA Knight. And the match was all right. It was fine for what it was, but I figured LA Knight was not going to win based on his future interactions with Logan Paul, and the match ended with Tama Tonga getting the victory thanks to some shenanigans courtesy of the Bloodline at ringside as Tama Tonga makes the next round of the tournament where he will face Randy Orton or Carmelo Hayes.
Yeah, I actually, you know, they can't give Tama that loss, but I was actually kind of pulling for LA Knight here. You know, he's still taking another loss, and I thought the way they did the loss kind of made him look, you know, foolish as far as that distraction, and I'm not a big fan of that. I would have rather Tama, like, a thumb to the eye, something that he's doing where he's the one who's cheating and doing some type of underhanded tactic, a low blow. I don't like the fact that he's just able to turn right into the finisher instead of it a little back and forth there, but that's a minor thing. We got the face off, the interaction, the tease of LA Knight and Logan Paul, and the crowd is going to be fully behind LA Knight when that happens. So he'll be fine coming out of this, and big win for Tama.
Definitely big win for Tama Tonga. LA Knight will be okay. He made it as far as he's going to make it in this tournament, which I totally understand. I think he has bigger ambitions regarding the United States Championship. And speaking of which, we had a contract signing between Cody Rhodes, the undisputed WWE Champion, and the United States Champion, Logan Paul. Now, last week on SmackDown, it was teased that this was title for title at King and Queen of the Ring, but Logan Paul had his own paperwork drawn up to ensure that only the WWE Championship will be on the line, not his title. And his lawyer drew up the paperwork, and Nick Aldis was like, don't big time me. We had an agreement. How dare you? Cody tells Nick to stand down, says, I got this. You can leave the ring now. And Cody was basically like, you've been around the block a couple of years and you accomplished a lot, but now you're really going to be tested against the absolute best, which is me. And you're going to really find out what it means to be a true professional wrestler. When it's all said and done, I'm going to sign this contract. Fine. I suppose we can only fight for my championship, but one day I will go after that U.S. title so I can be Cody Two Belts. So he signs the contract. We have Logan trying to attack Cody from behind that backfires. And of course, we have the prime security guards repping Logan Paul get beat up by Cody as Logan flees the scene. Cody stands tall once again. And when that happens, expect Logan Paul to get the jump on Cody before their match in Saudi Arabia for King of the Ring this Friday on SmackDown. But overall, a good contract signing.
Yeah, it was. And, you know, you've got two people of this level. And this is the, I guess I'm a little allergic to Logan Paul. Yeah, I don't know what that was all about. Had a little sneezing fit, started talking about Logan, started sneezing. So there's a connection there.
Allergic to Prime, perhaps?
Maybe it's the Prime. I must be allergic to the Prime. I'm definitely going to make sure for our review I got a Prime bottle with me. Yeah, definitely going to have some of that, the red one. Listen, this match is interesting because this is where Logan Paul had his best match of his career. Overseas in this type of environment. And honestly, after what Cody Rhodes did with Logan Paul last time, I'm expecting the same thing. So I'm actually looking forward to the match. I think it's going to be a really good match.
I think so too. I think Logan Paul has been a great shit talker throughout this feud so far. Very strong on the microphone. He figured out how to be a heel after trying to be a babyface during his initial run in WWE. I think this is going to be a very good, if not a great match for the championship. Logan Paul and Cody have brought the personal aspects of this feud to the forefront. I really dig it, and I think it's going to come through in the ring when it counts most. And we know Logan Paul is fairly over in Saudi Arabia, so he might be popular amongst the people. Cody will be over, obviously, as the champion. But this could be a great match. I think the contrast in styles is going to be very interesting. And I think from bell to bell, I'm not going to put stars out there, but I think this will be one of Logan Paul's top five best matches in WWE to date.
Yeah, I think that's fair. But, you know, and of course, this is WWE. So, you know, they're the only company who would have their world champion lose like the Friday before the title match. Right. I mean, that's what they're going to do because they're WWE. That's what I was told. But that's a whole other thing. But yeah, looking forward to it. I'll even go as far as say it'll probably be top three.
Okay. We'll reconvene during our recap on Saturday night to see if you're right about that. But I do sense good things regarding this matchup Saturday at King and Queen of the Ring. As we get to another match in this tournament for the ladies involving Nia Jax and Jade Cargill, one half of the WWE Women's Tag Team Champions, after Bianca, the other half of said champions, was able to go through Tiffany Stratton. And there was a possibility that if Jade were to get past Nia Jax, she will face her tag team partner and one half of the tag team champs, Bianca Belair, in the next round this Friday on SmackDown. But booking had other ideas, as we had Nia Jax and Jade scrap and battle in this matchup, and we had Jade's daughter at ringside, and Nia Jax antagonized the little girl, and Jade responded accordingly, and Nia Jax, who is the wily veteran, was able to push Jade's buttons enough for Jade to grab the steel chair that Nia Jax was going to use, supposedly, and she swung on Nia, automatic disqualification. Nia moves on, and I gotta say, I really enjoyed the brawl between Jade and Nia. They were scrapping. They were clawing. It was a battle. We had WWE referees and officials trying to break things up. I love the physicality of their fight. And I think that Jade kind of got bloodied up by Nia Jax to add insult to injury. But I do like the fact that WWE was smart. If you don't want to beat Jade, this is how you protect her. And, you know, Nia has been on a good run during her return to WWE over the last year or so. So I expect this match, when it is run back, to be good. And we know the moment we're waiting for is Jade finding a way to hit Jaded on Nia Jax.
I thought this was awful. I thought everything about this was bad. If you're not gonna this, everything about this felt like what Vince would have done. Like that, nothing about this felt good. Like you don't put Jade in this tournament if this is what you were going to get. And I'm sorry, the DQ we got just it didn't work. First of all, regardless of whether Jade blocked it or not, Nia still swung and hit her with the chair. Whether she blocked it with her hands or not, she hit her in the hand. I mean, that's a DQ. That's the DQ right there. Jade didn't stop her from swinging it and grab the chair. Nia swung the chair and hit Jade in the hands. That's what happened. Whether it's a block or not, that's a DQ. So none of it made sense. I appreciate them bringing the daughter aspect into it. I think Nia's been fantastic. We've both sung her praises this entire time. I think she's been fantastic. And I think she showed where she's improved. And honestly, she looked levels above Jade as far as just the in-ring aspect of it. Jade just has a star presence to her and just looks like $1 million no matter where you put her. And when you see her, you can't take your eyes off of her. But as far as what was going on in between those ropes, the little things, you know, connecting spot to spot and stuff like that, the transitions, Nia was excellent. She was all over the place. She was selling. She was moving, talking trash to the kid. Like, to me, this was all about Nia. And Nia was fantastic, but I thought everything else about this was absolutely terrible. Terrible.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
Menards is your electrical headquarters. We carry all the tools and testers you need for any electrical job. Stack up your toolbox with Southwire electrical products today. Right now, save big money on Southwire electrical tools, testers, cable ties, wire, and cable. Shop our huge selection in-store at Menards. Ranked number one in customer satisfaction among home improvement retailers according to J.D. Power. For more information, visit jdpower.com/awards.
Save big money at Menards.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Now, you know, Scott, the referee had to pretend not to see the chair making contact with the hand.
The referee could pretend to see whatever he want. How many times have we seen a referee come from out the back and be like, oh, no, so-and-so did this. You know, they like to pull that out once every 3 years. So I was waiting on that. Like, there's just, I don't know, man. Why not do a count out or something? Like, why not have Nia Jax just like lay her out? You know, Jade's going to try to put Nia through the table. Instead, Nia, you know, Samoa drops her through the table and barely beats the 10 count while Jade is fighting to get to her feet. Why not do that? Nobody gets pinned. You have this big brawl on the outside like you already had. Why not just do that and have a huge spot and have Jade fighting, have her daughter right there cheering her on. Come on, mom. Come on, mom. Come on, mom. As she's fighting, getting up from this rubble from the table, trying to get to the ring. Now you want to see Jade get her revenge and kick Nia's tail for talking that smack and doing that in front of her daughter like that. Instead, it's like, Jade, you're a hothead. You a hothead. It's not like it just happened. You waited 5 minutes after the fact to get your revenge for your daughter. So I don't know. Nothing about this worked for me.
I prefer the count out. I agree. Would have made more sense protected Jade obviously that would have been the preferred outcome, and Nia Jax would have won, and that would have gave her even more fuel against Bianca Belair in the next round of this tournament to determine who will be facing La Valkyria or Io Sky in the finals of the Queen of the Ring tournament. You know, I didn't hate the DQ, but I would have preferred the count out a bit better, because it would have protected Jade and, of course, her daughter at ringside, you know, trying to encourage her mom to get up to beat the count, and her mom couldn't because Nia destroyed her, and Nia being the maniacal heel taunting this little girl, and that would have gave Jade more fuel to go after Jade as well. So to go after Nia as well. So missed opportunities here to really make this a bit better. I understood it, but the booking of it all, I will say it was choices, but I did like the brawl post-match. It was good.
Yeah, the brawl post-match was fine. And again, Jay can still stand tall. You know, you can do whatever you want after that, because then, you know, she's already lost the match. But whenever they do have their next match, Jay will get the big victory. But it just... You got 2.5 million people watching, and this is what you do with Jade. You can be better.
Yes, for sure. As we get to another round of the King of the Ring tournament, this was Randy Orton versus Carmelo Hayes in the main event of Friday Night SmackDown in Jacksonville, Florida. Now, this match was, I have to say, pretty good. Randy Orton plays his greatest hits, obviously, going out there, putting in that work. Carmelo Hayes, his new gimmick these days, is that he is going to be slapping people upside the head. And Randy Orton says, oh, no, you did not. And he proceeded to go after Melo, and he dropped him with not one, not two, but three belly-to-back suplexes on the announce table as we go to commercial break. We come back, and Melo does fight back. His first 48 for a very close near fall, but Randy is going to go in his vintage bag, to quote Michael Cole, hit the draping DDT, and as Melo goes for a springboard off the top rope, he is hit with an RKO out of nowhere to get the 1-2-3 to move on to face Tama Tonga in the next round of the King of the Ring tournament. I enjoyed this match. I need Melo to get wins on SmackDown. He's being showcased with the extra special entrance. You know, he's over as a star. I do see Syfuse popping off with LA Knight, but I do need him to get wins now post King of the Ring tournament. Great seller, great wrestler, needs wins now after this.
I think we are seeing that Melo is missing a heavy. In NXT, he had Trick, you know, and when he was feuding, when he had his big feud, it was with Trick. You know, he needs that heavy to play off of. You know, he needs that person or that team that he can kind of, you know, hey, who's, you know, I'm the greatest, right? And they could be like, yeah, but he needs that heavy behind him, that presence. So when he's talking that cash, you know, and that big dude walks up on him, he's got these two or that one big dude that can walk up behind him. You know, he needs that extra element, especially as the new young heel, as far as the main roster goes. One thing I do love is his whole attitude of bald-headed scallywag ain't got no hair in the back, because I absolutely appreciate him smacking the hell out of all bald-headed people. So I'm here for that. Match was great. Randy Orton is the pro's pro at showing people that you don't need a large moveset to make a great match and to construct a great match. Randy Orton is able to use counters and then use a counter off of a counter. Like, there's a spot in the match where Randy went for his snap power slam, and he went for it. Melo stopped himself. Orton went and turned into it. Melo went after him, came off the other side, and Orton caught him on that side. Like, the way he is using what you know is coming, then he hits you with a nice, he gives his opponent a nice counter and then is able to counter that. Him and AJ Styles do a great job of that with the spring, with the phenomenal forearm and the RKO. I've seen them do one where Styles and Orton both tried to counter each other. Styles jumped to the top, dropped down. Orton got ready to hit the RKO and stopped, and they looked at each other. Like, and this is the same thing with Melo. Even coming off of the RKO, the way he's able to act like his leg is hurting and keep selling it right until the moment where he catches him. Little things like that. So this match was, I thought it was a great, 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 great match. And Melo absolutely got something in defeat, but Orton will be advancing to the finals of this tournament. And it looks like he's going to get his chest caved in.
Yes. You said that was not going to happen. I want it to happen. I need it to happen.
It's going to happen.
It's going to happen. Yeah. It is going to be glorious. This might be like one of Randy Orton's greatest matches because Gunther, spoiler alert, is that guy. And Randy, when pushed physically, can go. And his chest is going to take it. He's going to sell it. The wincing, I can see it now. When Drew chopped Randy all those years ago, like he was just shell-shocked. So I can only imagine what a Gunther chop is going to do to him. But I'm very intrigued by this matchup. And that is basically going to lead to the official coronation of King Gunther. And I am looking forward to that. Overall, SmackDown was a pretty good show this past Friday in Jacksonville, Florida. But you touched on something interesting, Scott, about Melo needing a heavy. And it popped into my head about who could possibly be a good candidate for this position. So we see this person a grand total of twice a year for the Royal Rumble and the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. So why don't we dust off Omos to be Carmelo's heavy?
So Omos will work. You're bringing MVP into the mix. So I'm torn on that because I really like the Omos MVP pairing, and I like that Omos is not on TV often. I appreciate that fact. I think him and Melo would look great together. Does Melo need a manager per se, like an MVP? Not necessarily, but I do think that whole combination would work. So if you do add Omos, I would also like to add a tag team too. Like I think you added Omos, that way you have this dominant force who can just take out everybody. But you need some people that you can feed for Melo. That you need some people who can take a pinfall loss to whoever Melo is feuding with. Omos not taking that loss. Like you said, he only showing up 2-3 times a year as it is. So, you know, that man ain't coming to lay down for nobody. So I think that would be a great, you know, when he finally goes up against a giant and then he brings out MVP, you know, you see him having these backstage conversations with MVP. Then he brings Omos. Love it. But he still needs that person or that team that's with him. He needs an Austin Theory or Grayson Waller, not them per se, but he needs somebody like that who has a big personality that he can play off of, can go in the ring, yet can just take those losses so he doesn't have to take any pinfall losses.
For sure. I do wonder who those candidates could be. I have another idea.
Give me Outkast, man. Bring Outkast up and let them rock.
You read my mind.
Let them rock with that man. Bring Outkast. And I already know what everybody's going to say. Oh, you're putting all the black people together. You can make that work, man. They got the NXT connection. They're high flyers. They have big personalities. They're very gullible. Their characters are very gullible. I said they should have did this with Top Dollar anyway. He should have been... he should have been the death row of the entire WWE. You can do this with Melo, man. And you bring Outkast up, Idris and Enofe, or is it Idris and Enofe? It's Idris and Enofe. Yeah, you bring those two up. I think you have the guys who can take the losses. They will get better. And then when they eventually smack Carmelo in the face, crowd's going to be behind them.
First of all, get out of my head, because that was my exact thought as to who could be the tag team that could absorb the losses. And it is Outkast. It is not Idris and Enofe. It is Idris and Malik Blade.
There it is.
You know, I want that too. I thought about who could be a team, and I said, those guys would be it. They have the personality. They got the charisma. They're very good in the ring. And I think they would excel being those two guys that could eat the losses on behalf of Melo, get slapped upside the head, and then they will one day stand up to Melo, and they will be able to stand on their own. So hopefully that happens soon. I love that idea. So get out of my head again, because as soon as you said tag team, I went like, who could it be? Outcast, Big Boy, Andre 3000. Come on now.
Yeah, those two gullible, those guys, they'll be like, yeah, sure. Well, absolutely sure. What you want us to do, man? We'll do it. With their little sweater vest.
Oh, my gosh.
and that's what he goes, yo, you can't wear that no more. That's going to be, those going to be the backstage. You got to change. Go take that off. You can't wear that no more.
No. We only wear Letterman jackets here. Okay. That's what we do here with Team Mello. All right. So that was a nice brainstorming session as to how we can get Mello a bit more over on the main roster by getting some help along the way. Give him a heavy and attack team to really make him pop on Friday Night SmackDown. As we get to Monday Night Raw, the go home show for the King and Queen of the Ring PLE going down this Saturday. And we kick things off with Sami Zayn, the Intercontinental Champion, in the ring talking about his two challengers for his championship this Saturday in the form of Chad Gable and Bronson Reed. Chad Gable's all about manipulation and he's all about corrupting the mind. And we have someone in Bronson Reed, I don't care about that. He's all about the championships, don't care about who he hurts, who he has to get past to get to the end game, which is becoming a singles champion in WWE. And Sami Zayn is about the soul, and you have to basically go through him, fight through the highs and lows in order to beat him. But soul, he said, will win the day.
Sammy, not the brother that I was expected to be talking about having some soul. Continue, I'm sorry.
Yeah, so he's a soul man, he said. That's what he said. So we have Chad Gable come out to refute this, saying, in fact, I'm going to take your soul at this PLE to win this championship. And he lowbrows his Alpha Academy family, talking about Maxine being a loser, Akira being a loser, Otis being a loser, that leads to Sammy versus Chad Gable, a very good match. But the underlying story of this matchup was basically Chad Gable trying to get his teammates to cheat on his behalf. Maxine and her acting, her confliction, Scott, of trying to slap Sami Zayn. She couldn't do it. So she just froze and she stood down. And Akira Tozawa had a chance to hit Sami and he stood down. He couldn't do it. Chad reprimanded them to get the hell out of the ringside area. I'm done with you, you pansies. They left. Then it was Otis that was left standing there. And he too was resistant to do what needed to be done for Chad Gable. And Chad slapped Otis, and the fans trying to get behind Otis. Hit him back. Hit him. Swing on him, right? So Sammy hits a blue thunderbomb for a near fall. Exploder suplex in the corner. Tries to go for the Halluva kick. Otis clothesline Sammy behind the referee's back, and Chad Gable hits the Chaos Theory suplex, German style, to get the victory. Very proud of himself. Otis feels guilty about what he has done. He goes backstage later in the show to say, I'm sorry, I didn't mean it. Sammy says, it's not too late for you, Otis. Like I did a long time ago, you have to find a way out of this. You can do it. Chad runs up on Otis after having a conversation with who is soon to be Team Gable and the Creed brothers. I see the vision here. And he tells Otis, hey, so you told Sammy that you were sorry. Oh, look at you trying to play up to his sympathies. Well, I got your flight, got your passport. I'm going to fly over to Saudi Arabia, and you're going to help me win my Intercontinental Championship, Otis. Business class all the way. And all I thought to myself is that Otis is so going to cost Chad Gable this championship at King and Queen of the Ring. But, Scott, another development that popped off was the fact that the fans in Greensboro, North Carolina, as Chad Gable beat Sami Zayn, as his music played, they were chanting, you suck, like he was Kurt Angle back in 2002.
First off, why is Sammy losing matches? Like, what? What are we doing, man? Like, what? They just had a singles match 2 weeks ago and Chad just lost. And now he beats him. Like, I'm not understanding what's going on with some of that. Now you got this man talking about the soul and being the soul. Like, you can't just take your NXT role that you had when Triple H was running and just bring it here and think that, like, you're not the soul. Like, this ain't you. Just because you listen to the Blues Brothers album on the way to the show doesn't mean you the soul man. Like, what is that? What is going on? There's only one white man in WWE who can talk about soul, okay? And he's on SmackDown. All right. It ain't Sammy, okay? I mean, the match was good. They can't have a bad match. Otis is obviously, like you said, he's going to be the reason. I can see Otis saying no, turning it down. You know, the match is over. Chad might go to smack him, and then out come the Creed brothers to whoop up on Otis. I think that would be a great way to introduce. No way they could save that for Raw, but that trio is going to be fun to watch. There'll be some great six-man tag matches with those three.
I love it. I'm here for it. I do wonder what the hell Sami Zayn losing matches before PLEs. That is not cultured whatsoever. That is bizarre. You do not do soul man Sami Zayn like that, okay? You do not have him eat losses. I understand it for the purpose of, like, Otis had to do a very bad thing for Chad Gable, but Sami still could have won the match. So I'm like, okay, whatever. This too shall pass, but stupid booking decisions aside, enjoy the matchup. I love the turn. And Team Gable, reloaded. I am here for that, as Ivy's going to flip on Maxine and they're all going to join the brand new and improved Alpha Academy. And those six-man tags are going to slap. Not going to lie.
Yeah, and can't wait for Otis and Akira Tozawa's tag team to just set that division on fire. Those two versus Miz and Truth is, man, can't wait to watch that at London's Money in the Bank, or wherever Money in the, what is it, Paris, wherever it is this year.
Toronto, Ontario, Canada.
0-2.
You're 0-2. You're trying to go to the outskirts of the world here. We're in North America. And I totally sensed your sarcasm from here, because I know damn well, you know, and I know that Otis and Akira Tozawa are not going to tear down the tag team division unless Akira Tozawa is unleashed in the ring and he drops the silliness. Because if you let that guy cook and let Otis do his thing, actually, it could happen. But you have to strip the gimmicks. You have to strip the gimmicks. That's the only way I can take it seriously.
Yeah, I look forward to seeing Akira Tozawa going after Ricochet Speed Championship every Wednesday night, or every Wednesday at 12 o'clock.
Wow.
Can't
well,
wait.
Well, hey, it's a championship, is it not?
Don't, hey, I'm not, listen, the 3-minute matches are cool. My kids love them. It's right, perfect for their attention span.
Okay, not their attention span.
Oh, it's perfect. They see people flipping around, they jumping around. Oh my God. All right, time to go watch Bluey. Thanks, Dad. Needed that. Let me go try that flip on my brother. Now let me go watch Bluey. So works out perfect.
Come on, not this testimonial as to what speed can do for kids before they watch Bluey and maybe Coco Melon.
No. No.
You're anti Coco Melon?
I'm not. What do you see? Listen, I've been through the Coco Melon phase. The first kid went through that. Second kid's probably not gonna. We're not doing that. I'm cool with Bluey though. I can rock with Bluey, you know. But we good on Coco. We good on JJ. You know what I'm saying? JJ ain't grown up in 4 years. My kid done grown up. JJ wow. Still hasn't grown up. Something's going on with that. That's a demon.
Not a demon.
That's Damien.
God damn it, I can't with you. Okay, so we have put that aside after all of that, I have to say. No, stop it. Right.
Mom.
Now. Oh my God.
Sorry.
Okay. Okay. All right. Lily! Oh my gosh. Enough.
Okay. No more. No more.
Okay. All right. So let's get to what I loved on this show was Bron Breakker. Bron Breakker.
Strowman.
Hell no. No, 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 no. I love Braun Strowman, but yeah, no, cool. Bron Breakker. No, he was the star of this show because Adam Pearce, who I hope takes a spear by Bron Breakker very soon.
Your boy.
My boy, I love Scrap Daddy. Don't get me wrong. But you being disrespectful to my boy Bron right now. Because, you know, Bron said, why you ain't put me in the King of the Ring tournament? You know, I would have ran through this crew. You know, I would have got this on lockdown. Why you overlook me? So Pierce thought he was doing something right. Okay, Bron, I'm going to give you a match against Kale Dixon. And Bron is in the corner. He's like, oh, okay. So this is my competition. You got me a scrub in the ring, just disrespecting me like I can't take on serious competition. Okay. All right. Cool. He proceeded to spear Kale Dixon immediately, spear him on the outside, got him back in the ring. The referee trying to say, enough, enough. He can't fight no more. Call for the bell. He cannot continue. Bron, you win. Bron said, fuck that. So he gonna run the ropes. And while the referee's holding his dude up, Bron just spears him anyway. I was living. Then he grabbed the steel chair. Kale Dixon's got his head wedged between the steel steps because the referees and officials tried to break up whatever Bron was trying to do with the steps. So he treated Kale Dixon like he treated Von Wagner in NXT and smashed his head against those steel steps and walked away like a boss. Got the stretcher from Mr. Kale Dixon, and Bron Breakker was like, listen, looking at Adam Pearce, don't you ever give me mediocrity again. Do you hear me? And then Bron rose up on Adam Pearce once again to let him know that all you had to do was put me in the King of the Ring tournament. Why are you overlooking my greatness? Why are you handing me scrubs to fight when you know I deserve more? And then later in the show, which I am loving as this development, we got Ilya Dragunov and Ricochet talking backstage. Dragunov still got time for Gunther, even though he didn't win the tournament. And Ricochet says, we got to finish business too. And out of nowhere, Bron Breakker spears Ricochet over this trunk backstage. I am here for Bron Breakker versus Ricochet. I'm here for Bron versus Ilya Dragunov. I'm here for a triple threat. I'm here for all of it. Bron wants to smoke. And how can you boo a guy that wants fair competition on Monday Night Raw? And Scrap Daddy, you better give it to him before your ass rolls up in an ambulance. I'm just saying.
Well, as far as how can you boo a guy like that, I think it's pretty easy when he tries to crush a kid's head. I get this boy and he owns one of your companies and stuff. You know, I know he's got a restaurant under your name, but that man just tried to decapitate somebody. We see Von Wagner got released after he got decapitated. So you know what I'm saying? This, you know, what's the man's name? Kale Bread? What's his name?
Kale Dixon.
Kal Naughton.
Was he on the Bachelorette? I don't know. I think he was. That's what they said.
I thought you said Kal Naughton, because I thought we were about to shake and bake. You know, thought he teamed up with Ricky Bobby or something. Listen, Bron's great. They got it. We've known this for a while. We've been waiting for this, and he's not disappointing. You know, me. This is me just completely thinking outside the box. They don't really seem like they have anybody lined up for Gunther. For Bron Breakker. You know, Ricochet, we'll get through that. I wouldn't mind seeing Breakker have a match with Scrap Daddy and you know, Scrap Daddy cut a promo like he did on Ronda Rousey at Bron. And he's like, you know what? I'm going to wrestle you. I'm going to take you on. I'm going to handle this myself. Like, I wouldn't be opposed to it. I kind of wish it was SmackDown because I would love to see Nick Aldis versus Bron Breakker. Mm-hmm. But we were supposed to get Scrap Daddy versus Roman Reigns. Okay, yes. I'll take Scrap Daddy versus Bron Breakker.
You know, I'm still mad because I wanted Scrap Daddy versus Roman Reigns 3 years ago, and I was denied. I was like, how dare you flaunt this in my face and then don't give it to me? The audacity of you. Because I want to see Scrap Daddy scrap. And I know he doesn't want to wrestle, but you can make exceptions, Adam. You can do it one time against Bron Breakker, and I'm fine with that. You take off your tie and say, guess what? I'll fight you. You want real competition? Hey, come over here. Get this business. I'm here for that. Meanwhile, Kiana James is backstage hustling, saying, do you need some help, Adam? Are you okay? Do you need some assistance from me? She is trying to vie for an assistant general manager position. Sonya, let her know this job ain't what it's cracked up to be. Okay?
What are we about to competing for the number two? What are we doing, man? We're competing to be the assistant to the regional manager. Like we want to be the next Dwight Schrute. What is going on, man? Like, of course it's not what it's cracked up to be. It's not a real position. That's why it's not cracked up what it's cracked up to be, Sonya. It's not real. I love Kiana. I think Kiana James looks great, by the way. Cheddar biscuits all around for her. Shout out to Sonya. Glad to see her back. I hope we get to see her wrestling a little bit more, yes, instead of just, you know, kicking on. And I understand there were, you know, circumstances with that situation. But now that she's back and healthy, you know, got the new fam, you know what I'm saying? Hopefully, you know, we can get her back in the ring because she definitely would add something to that division in the singles. And Kiana James. So Raw's got a lot going on, a lot of talent, a lot of real strong wrestlers, especially on that men's side. I was just thinking about those three, Braun, Ilya, and Ricochet. That's just a lot of guys down there. They can make a lot of great music.
For sure. I love that dynamic as well. Great to see Sonya back as well. I think back to her work during the pandemic era before whatever happened because that sucked for her, but she was coming into her own as a character and as a performer, and that was kind of lost in the shuffle when that asshole did what he did, and she had to come back as a general manager assistant to Adam Pearce and wasn't really in the ring as much until her very fun feud with Naomi a couple of years ago on SmackDown. So I want to see her more in the ring and just cutting really good promos because she can go out there and really captivate people if given a fair opportunity. And I think that she would do so via this one. We saw her talking to Zoe Stark and Shayna Baszler backstage, and it kind of ended with her walking away from them. There might be some tension there, but we'll see how it goes. I just want Sonya to get a fair shake as a singles wrestler, give her the opportunity to stand out. And I think that she will do so. Just give her a fair chance to just cook, and she will.
Yeah, and you know, I personally would have liked to see her and Chelsea interact, but I guess we'll get that down the road. But yeah, she like I said, she'll be a nice addition to this roster, and obviously her and Scrap Daddy got a little history there too, so looking forward to it. Her versus Becky Lynch could be a lot of fun. That could be a nice little match, because honestly Becky ain't got a lot going on with her division either, so anybody else who can help add to that is a welcome addition.
Save big this summer with great deals, all in the Kroger app. Get select varieties of Powerade or Body Armor Super Drinks for 79 cents each. Then get a 2-pound package of strawberries for $2.99 each, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Definitely. As we get to the next round of the Queen of the Ring tournament involving Lyra Valkyria versus Io Sky. I thought this was a really good match. Crowdy was kind of so there, but I love the work between both ladies. Lyra, you know, she is getting adjusted to the main roster. I think that this will be good for her. Very good in the ring. Io Sky, what can I say? She's extraordinary out there. Love the chemistry between them. I thought Io was honest to God going to win this match. I was very surprised when Lyra got the leverage pin on Io to move to the finals of the Queen of the Ring tournament. And Io was surprised, talked her shit in Japanese, walked away. She was a little salty, but I'm happy for Lyra, and she will face the winner of Bianca Belair versus Nia Jax, which happens this Friday on SmackDown from Saudi Arabia. And I will say that Queen Nia Jax is upon us.
I think we might be in for a huge upset. I think, because I think Nia, obviously we both think Nia is going to beat Bianca, because that would be idiotic to put Bianca versus Lyra. So I think we're both in agreement there. And I think Jade and Bianca both come into play and play a hand in Nia losing that match. I think Queen Nia is the way to go, and I think you get a lot of mileage out of that. But you've gone this far with Lyra. You've gone this far already. And I think Io Sky versus Nia would have been a great match. I'm not as confident about this match. This match was okay. I think it was about 5 minutes too long. Crowd was dead for the first 5 minutes. I don't even think that I didn't hear a thing.
I didn't hear a thing. Me either.
Heard somebody pass gas, and that was about it.
Pause. No. Mm-mm. I don't need that visual and that audio of that.
No, there's no visual. There's no visual. You just heard it.
No.
There was no visual.
No. The face is a visual. If you smell it, you just know it hits the air. It's disgusting.
Oh, it's just like Liv Morgan. She said Sarah Morgan used to do it all the time. So.
Oh, my gosh.
So that's fine. Shout out to Liv Morgan, who is definitely branching out. And she for the people. She for the people.
Let me just say that.
She for the people. Okay. After that interview.
Yes, she is. Okay. Yes, she is.
All right.
Salute to her. Okay. Salute. But yeah, I agree with you. The match is 5 minutes too long. I was astounded they went to a second commercial break. I'm like, really? Okay, just because this crowd is dry, and they did pop for the surprise finish of it all. But you know, I love Lyra too. I would not be opposed to Queen Lyra. If you're gonna go there, if you want to push somebody from NXT that got called up and make this draft pick count. And if you want to make her the queen, make her the queen. I'm here for it. That establishes that NXT should be taken seriously, that you can be called up in about a month and look how your life can completely change. She's kind of embedded with this Becky Lynch and Liv Morgan storyline as well, which I like. So if they're going to go there, I'm totally fine. But either way with me, Queen Nia for the heat works, and Queen Lyra for the opportunity to be elevated in this division. That works for me as well.
Yeah, there's not a wrong answer with either of those. You can get a lot out of it. And you brought up a good point. I know we need to move on, but you brought up a good point about Lyra kind of being entangled, especially after the, you know, getting sucker punched into this whole Liv Becky thing, and her having that notch, winning Queen of the Ring and having that, you know, hey, listen, I just won Queen of the Ring, especially if Liv wins, and her be like, and so since you want to take that from Becky, I'm going to come take that from you. This is about to be my revenge tour. There's a lot you can do, and them everything kind of being entangled with one another. It does tell a fitting story. So they have a lot of ways they can go, which is always a good thing.
Yes, there are some underlying storylines involving the ladies, which I like a lot. Future stories there that you can really kind of see a mile away in a good way. But I appreciate this match, even though it went a little bit too long and the crowd heat was kind of like so-so. As we get to, yes, The Awesome Truth, The Miz and R-Truth versus Finn Balor and JD McDonagh from Judgment Day for the World Tag Team Championships. And Carlito is trying to ease his way into Judgment Day, trying to help the crew along the way. And Damian Priest is still apprehensive about this, but we have Carlito providing interference throughout this match. Dom is on the apron, causing trouble as well. And R-Truth said that he called on a friend. He called Andre the Giant for assistance. And The Miz tried to break the news to R-Truth that Andre's been dead for over 30 years. So I don't know who you could possibly be talking to or about. Come to find out, the aforementioned Braun Strowman comes out, to make the save. He chases down JD McDonagh, and that leads to The Miz. I cannot believe I'm saying this. He flew over the top rope and took out Finn Balor. That was impressive. Then R-Truth hits the AA, the Attitude Adjustment, on JD McDonagh to retain the World Tag Team Championships. They are the luckiest damn tag team in WWE. That is all I will say. This match is passable.
And I'm also gonna, what I'm not gonna let you do is is to just completely like skip over The Miz doing a one-handed cartwheel while the chain wrestling was going on. Let's not act like my boy wasn't out there chain wrestling too, okay? All right. I'm gonna tell you what we're gonna do. We're gonna give my boy his props today, okay? You saw that man hit that flying crossbody on the outside. This boy is getting nimble, okay? He know he working with a 50-year-old man over there who's seeing things and talks to little Jimmy. That man knew he had to get in shape. He flying around the ring. He chain wrestling. Come on now. Shout out to Mike. Shout out to Mike, man.
I knew this was coming. And damn it, the chain wrestling, I will say,
You saw that cartwheel. You saw that one-hand cartwheel.
I did. And I begrudgingly have to say it was good. Okay, I will admit it. Damn it. All right, you know how it is very difficult for me to offer any semblance of praise to Michael Mizanin, but I do. When Miz went Lucha Miz last year, I appreciated that. So I also will say he tapped into his British strong style bag, and he did a little something last night against JD and Finn, whose abs, by the way, were extra egregious last night. My God. What?
Real quick. You know, straight man. But let me tell you something. Dude started taking his shirt off. And I'm like, good Lord, dude. What are we doing?
I was like, come on.
What are we doing? Who are you wearing the rainbow colors for? Are people watching you? Are you like, what are we doing, man? Like, that was crazy. Like, bro got an ab inside of an ab, and like, that ab was poking out. I was like, bro, I can't even want to be like you, because there's two of me inside of your abs. We ain't even got to your chest yet. We just talking about your abs. Like, and then you got the Funko head right beside him. So you got a 12 pack, and then you got a floating head right beside it. It's like, what in the world? And then you got porn stash behind him. So you got a floating head, you got porn stash, and you got 12 abs. It's like a Mr. Potato Head all in different pieces everywhere.
And you're trying to put them together to see if they fit. And I'm like, yeah, that's all I saw. I saw Finn unzip, and all I saw was abs.
Hey.
And I was like, you know, this guy has been on my permanent, before we even met Scott, this guy has been on my permanent list of a limited supply of cheddar biscuits since at least 2013 when he was Prince Devitt, okay? So when he did that, I'm like, how do you get more abs in your 40s and still look good? Ridiculous.
Shout out to Finn, man. Shout out to Finn. Match wasn't very good, though. But no. You know, outside of Mike, holding the match down. You know
Mike,
what I mean?
Mike being the glue to hold the match together in 2024. Look at God. Look at him perform miracles.
A match with JD McDonagh and Finn Balor and Mike Mizanin is the highlight.
Yes.
This is the time we live in.
Upside down. Highlight was Miz and Finn's abs. I'm part of the Finn gang for a reason, representing the Finns. As we get to Becky Lynch and Liv Morgan. Now, I love me some Becky Lynch, and I love me some Liv Morgan. And I, too, have problems, you know, when I try to get my words together. You know, my brain works a little faster, and I have to, you know, slow down a little bit. Love Liv. She needs more opportunities to talk, and when she gets those chances, I think that she would knock off that rust on the microphone and she would be over. There are pieces being assembled that will have her be a centerpiece of this women's division in time. I saw the opening of Monday Night Raw. I saw her come out of Finn's vehicle. So we know something is brewing in Judgment Day. She will be great. Give her the reps on the mic to really find her voice, and she'll be great. Did not love this promo last night. I do love her callousness as of late when she sucker punched the hell out of Lyra. That is a worked punch, not whatever Becky did last week. But I do love that spice of attitude. I like the foundation being built. Just need a bit more from Liv on the microphone. She would get there. Becky, she was fine as always. You know what she's going to do, what she's going to do in order to grab the audience's attention, saying that she's been doing this for 20 plus years and she wants to leave the place better than she found it, which I totally get and understand. But this match will be good on Saturday. They have worked great together before. They will again. Do I foresee a title change? Not yet. Soon, but not yet.
I think I like this promo a little bit more than you. Not as much Becky, but I thought Liv was pretty good. I thought she held her own well. I thought she came off just really unlikable in the best possible way. Loved the way she was talking about the crowd when they were wedding, and she was like, oh, you can't hear me? Oh, I know why you can't hear me, because your head is so far up her tail, because you just... I loved it. I thought she was really good, man. I thought she was really good in this promo. Yeah, there's some flubbing going on, and that's going to happen, but I thought she was pretty good, especially when you're standing across from Becky Lynch, who can really... You know, if you let her, she can tear you to pieces. Like, we've seen her eat some people up. And we've seen her eat Liv Morgan up on the mic.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So we've been here before and seen Becky Lynch just chew up Liv Morgan and just make her seem like they're not even in the same ballpark. That wasn't the case this time. So in that regard, especially since we've seen it before, I think Liv came off really well in this segment.
Yeah, I agree. I just want to, you know, just find the voice a bit more. But I do like that she was able to improvise and clap back on the crowd, too. I did like that line about your head is so far up Becky's ass, you can't hear me. Like, that's how you play into the what chance, because I hate that when you're trying to cut a promo and they're trying to get under your skin by saying what you're saying really doesn't matter. I do like that bit of how to get back that heat in a good way. But like I said, the pieces are there. And when they all come together, it is going to be great. And I kind of see where they're going with this. Becky is going to be Becky. And as you said before, she will engulf you if you let her. She did that to Liv a few times a couple of years ago. And she did that to Zoe Stark last year because she was just demolished. And Zoe's still trying to recover to this day. And speaking of Zoe Stark, we have her and Shayna Baszler beating, I believe, who was it? Yes. Was it Maxine Dupri?
Yes. Yeah. Maxine, yeah. Ivy, Casey and JoJo, and one other team?
It was, let me think about this. It was Dakota Kai and Kairi Sane.
That's right. That's right. That's the other team.
Yeah. So Maxine got whopped up by Shayna and Zoe Stark, and they will face Bianca Belair and Jay Cargill for a future match for the WWE Women's Tag Team titles. That should be very interesting. Clash of Styles. We'll see how it goes.
I think it'll be a really good match. I think you got the technical prowess, what you need in Shayna Baszler, who can target limbs, especially with the injuries that they, you know, the injuries that they kind of have. Bianca's leg, she can target limbs. Zoe can create a lot of movement for them, can fly around the ring. And then Bianca and Jay can just be the powerhouse bases and just have these great comebacks. So I think this matchup is very good. I think they'll do very well together, especially when they build Shayna Baszler being the one to build a lot of heat until they build to Jade's hot tag. So I think this match will be really good. And, you know, as far as that tag match goes, not a good match. But I will say this. Regardless of how you feel about her, Maxine Dupri being thrown to the wolves is getting better every single week. Every single week she is getting better. She is not ready for TV yet, no. But she is getting better every single week. And she should be on NXT, man. Like, this would be A-okay on NXT, and she would be thriving right now. I think she's doing a good job. She just should not be on TV. She's picking everything up, though. She's gotten better every single week.
Yeah, I see the potential there. She has a great personality. Sometimes she pulls her faces a bit too much for me in terms of acting, but she has personality, and I take that over someone who doesn't have personality any day of the week. There is potential there to rein that in. She is getting better. I do wish she was on NXT so she could get the reps every single day at the PC to get better, to work the coconut circuit in Florida every other weekend to even get better. I know she's on the road with the main roster, but I think that she needs more seasoning and she needs more time. And if she's still at the PC working, please do so, because there's potential there for her to be very good. I do see something in her. I do see the potential to be great, because sis pulled off a fucking cyclone fucking suplex like months ago, which is something that I never thought I would have seen, but she did it anyway. So I just think if you just give her something between the notes, she'll be great. Unfortunately for her, Ivy Nile is going to break her heart when she defects and joins Team Gable.
Yeah, it's gonna happen with nobody. Hopefully they don't have a singles. They don't need to have a singles match.
No.
That's one of those matches you can just film on the live event and we can just see some highlights.
Oh my gosh. Yes. No lies told there. As we get to our main event of the evening, which is main event Jey Uso versus Gunther in the next round of the King of the Ring tournament, as Scott does the yeet movement, hand motions. Love the single camera shot of Jey making his way down to the ring after a rough first week of the Hartford crowd letting me down by not doing the fireflies. Every city since then has understood the assignment. They are on one accord. They are in formation. Loved Greensboro last night. They were just hot for this. It just makes this entrance even more special, which I appreciate. Gunther comes out there and immediately Jey's chest takes a hit, bruised up immediately. They go back and forth. Very good match. Not as good as their IC title match a few months ago on Monday Night Raw, but I thought this match was very good. Back and forth action. At one point, I thought that Jey was going to win this match due to a referee bump accident. Referee's a little bit too late to make the cover. Or make the count, I should say, when Jey covered Gunther. And then Gunther submits Jey for the victory. I was pleasantly surprised by this. You know, I know that people love Jey. And I think there was a lot of fervor online that's highly overrated about how he beat Dragunov in the main event. And Gunther got the win here. And there was jubilation, as Scott noted, the end of the yeet movement, which is not exactly true. But yeah, the over celebration of this, I totally get to a point, because I am all for King Gunther and I'm all about Gunther versus Randy Orton in the finals of the King of the Ring, because I know that is going to be a professional wrestling clinic. Pray for Randy's chest. Jey will be fine despite losing this match.
You know, There's people who will watch this match and can watch Jey Uso and see him being the number one sales merch, selling the most, got like 3 shirts in the top 10, been that way since he went singles, you know. People will really see all that and hear the reaction that he gets and see the fireflies and hear all that and say that he shouldn't be here. You know, and say that he shouldn't be dragging off, and your most over baby face on your brand should not be beating the brand new guy who just came up. And that ain't got nothing to do with dragging off. Even this match, I saw people talking about, oh my God, if Jey Uso wins, we're going to stop watching and all this stuff. And my thinking is, this is the top baby face, and arguably, there is a strong argument outside of the champions. He is your top babyface. There's a strong argument there. I don't get the Jey Uso backlash. No, he doesn't have a large moveset, but he's been able to construct. Yeah, he's had some clunkers, but he's been able to construct good matches too. I don't get the backlash or the pushback when every arena he goes to, he gets the same reaction. Like, this crowd was dead for the last 30 minutes of that show until the main event. They were dead. And he came out and that place lit up. They got a little hype for Braun, but when he came out, it was a whole different vibe, man. A whole different vibe. The energy changes. I'm fully on board with Jay. Gunther was the right choice, but I just don't understand the pushback people have for Jey Uso and this push that he's getting. It ain't even like he's winning every single match. That's what's baffling to me. Like, he's losing.
Baffling. He's losing. He is losing the big matches, the championship matches, the World Heavyweight Championship matches, the Intercontinental Championship matches, the King of the Ring Championship matches. All of them, he's losing the big ones. And it's like, you did notice he was losing matches on Monday Night Raw for a time before WrestleMania. So it's, you know, a little weird for the pushback, but that's internet for you. That's one thing. But when you see the crowds and you see how he connects with them, that is what I go by. Internet fervor does very little for me in terms of reaction, because it's minute in terms of what I see from the fans until they turn on Jay, until they turn off their fireflies, until they don't yeet no more. Then Jey Uso is going to be continuously over on the show, and he'll get his win back eventually. I do believe that. And for the purposes of the, you don't think he's going to get the win back at all?
Not over Gunther.
Oh, I didn't say that.
Oh, okay.
Now, you know damn well.
That's what I thought you meant, over Gunther. I was like, nah, he ain't getting that
one. Hell no. No. Hell no. No. Hell no. Now, I said he's going to get his win back against someone else. It would not be against Gunther. But yeah, I think it's a big over-exaggeration. It's like the fallacy of Cody's going to lose the fans. Like, that ain't going to happen anytime soon. Short of a Cody-verse catastrophe, that is not going to happen. So, yeah, I don't put much stock into social media regarding talent unless the fans in the arenas and the stadiums say otherwise. So, otherwise, a very good main event. As you said, this Greensboro crowd was hella dry. They was just napping. They was on, like, Z-Quil or something, just knocked out until the main event when Jay came out there and they woke up and they had a time. And I appreciate that. And that is it for right now. But I do have this to say. We're going to presume it's Gunther and Randy. Is Gunther winning this, correct?
I mean, yes, but listen. My favorite wrestler is Randy Orton. I ain't betting against it. I'm not betting against Orton. I'm not doing it. So whatever you was just trying to do, whatever setup you was just trying to do on camera, and you got me on camera trying to bet against my boy, not going to happen. Randy Orton is going to win this match. I'm calling it here. I'm betting against my head. I'm betting with my heart. Randy Orton, he going to hit an RKO from the top, an avalanche RKO from the top rope for the win.
First of all, you cut your camera on by accident, okay? Like, you accidentally got on camera for this. I did not lead you into saying anything. I know that Randy Orton is your favorite wrestler, but you have to be realistic. He ain't going to win. He's not going to win, and that's okay. I will hug you virtually and say it's okay. Randy will be okay. Just get some Bengay for his chest, because he's going to go through some things on Saturday, all right? But one more item of business before we leave is that we have Ludwig Kaiser talking mad shit about Sheamus, saying you an internet warrior, that's all you do, you type and talk shit, but after what Gunther did to you, you running, and I'm gonna finish you off. So I like the buildup for Sheamus and Ludwig to go out there. Ludwig is cutting the best promos of his career the last couple of weeks, very comfortable on the microphone backstage talking to Kayla Braxton last night during Raw. So Ludwig versus Sheamus, the buildup is good. Give them 15, 20 TV minutes out there, or do it at Clash, whatever you like to do, and they will deliver, no doubt about it.
He ain't got no choice. He ain't doing nothing else, so he might as well cut some good promos. So.
Wow.
I was just saying, he ain't got nothing else to do. He ain't in no tag matches. He not in the tournament. Anyway, what else he going to do? He better cut some promos. Gunther probably told that man, listen, I ain't got nothing for you, bro. So you better hope Scrap Daddy got some promo time for you, because I got nothing for you. You can't get no tag team gold? Nah, bro. You on your own, homie. That's how that went.
Yes, we broke up Imperium. We're still together. We sent Giovanni to SmackDown, who has not been seen yet. Prayers for Giovanni, obviously, because when you get lost in the shuffle, you are lost in the shuffle. But yeah, Ludwig, listen, if he ain't got time to wrestle, he got time to talk. And if you got time to talk, make the best use of your time. And he's been talking mad shit about Sheamus, and I'm here for it, leading to an eventual match either on Monday Night Raw or the next PLE Clash at the Castle in Glasgow, Scotland next month. And with that, that is a wrap for this episode of The Wrap right here on the Fight Game Media Network. Very fun show as always. Recap the week that was for WWE as we get ready for the King and Queen of the Ring PLE going down live in Saudi Arabia this Saturday on Peacock. I want to thank my co-captain, my ride or die, my advocate for Jada Parker from NXT, Salty Scott Young, for joining me as always to talk about all things WWE.
Thank you, Keila. As always, it's a pleasure to chop it up and talk all things WWE. I look forward to our post show as we talk about Randy Orton becoming a king for the first time. And, you know, I think it'll be a great show. Logan Paul is going to put on a show. I'm excited to hopefully Logan Paul puts on a show, but I'm excited about this one. I think it'll be a good show.
I think so as well. We'll talk about it on Sunday morning on The Wrap special edition. We're going to run it back on Monday Night Raw during another show for you guys to tune into to get ready for some more PLEs for NXT. And of course, a quick turnaround for WWE with Clash at the Castle in Glasgow, Scotland on June 15th. Another Saturday PLE in the middle of the day. Hey, that goes on for another month or so until we get back to our usual schedule of PLEs at night on Saturdays for now via Money in the Bank going down, not in Paris, Scott, but in Toronto, Ontario, Canada.
Yeah, it's just probably like, oh, now y'all want to go. Now y'all want to put a PLE over there in Toronto, huh?
Showing love. Hey, you get two of them. You get Heat Wave and you get Money in the Bank. You get SmackDown. You get a 3-for-1 special that weekend. Good for you guys.
Yeah, shout out to y'all.
All right.
No love for the Copelands, though.
Wow. No love for the Copelands.
Except Beth. Hey, shout out to Beth, though. Beth to come on down. I mean, he can't. TK ain't letting that man show up, so he can't get no love. They would have definitely did something for him. You know, he would have definitely got some love, but he can't now. But Beth can.
Yes, very possible. That was random Copeland shade to end the show. So random, out of nowhere. Like, Copelands don't get no love around here. No. Okay.
Adam's all right, though. I mean, I like Adam.
I like Adam, too.
I like Adam. You know, shout out to him. He's having a lot of fun over there. I'll give you that. He's doing everything that he probably was not allowed to do under Vince. Like, he probably asked to do all this stuff and was like, are you kidding me? 50 years old. And he's here. He's like, I'm getting a Tony Khan, this is my bucket list. I need each of those.
Yes, I'm doing a dive every match at 50 years old. I'm doing topes. I'm doing what I need to do to just do crazy shit. And I'm all
about
that.
He's taking Sting's spot. He's taking Sting's spot. He's the old crazy man on the show.
Yes, Sting, until the end, was doing outrageous stuff.
Yes.
I love Sting. I appreciate that run. Enjoy retired life, sir. A legend in this business. All right. So with that, as we pay our tribute to Sting out of nowhere and Adam Copeland, who's doing crazy stuff in AEW, we'll be back on Sunday morning recapping the King and Queen of the Ring PLE. Who will be the King of the Ring? Who will be the Queen of the Ring? Who will walk out various champions out of this PLE? And will we find out that, Scott, a Warrior Rumble or a WrestleMania will be in Saudi Arabia in the year 2028?
No. Can't imagine those two. No, absolutely not.
I say a Survivor Series, potentially.
No, I could see a Survivor Series. I could absolutely see it, but absolutely, unless they paying them like $200 million.
Yes, and they have it, and that's the scary part. They have the $200 million.
Now listen, that's hard to turn down at that point. Yeah. I mean, if you're sending the show over there for 50 and they're like, well, we'll give you 200 to bring this one, that's hard to turn down. I mean, that's But that's the only way I could see one of those two shows happen.
Yeah, for sure. $200 million. You would get people to watch on Netflix, most likely, if it's not going to be Peacock. And they'll be tuned in at 1 o'clock in the afternoon if the money is right. And it's not like they don't have the money, because they do. They would throw $200 mil and say, give us a Royal Rumble and WrestleMania. And WWE says, bet. You got it. So...
$200 mil for two nights.
Yeah.
I could see that, because then you bringing back everybody at that point.
Yeah.
I could see it.
A WrestleMania supercard, no doubt about that. So we'll see how it goes, but we'll see what the announcement will be. If that is going to be, in fact, the direction we're going in with this deal that's never ending, which with deep bloody pockets indeed. As we now say adieu to you all, we'll be back Sunday for our PLE recap right here on The Wrap, then back next Monday and or Tuesday morning to recap the week that was for WWE. Until then, for myself and Salty Scott Young, that is a wrap for all things WWE. Enjoy the rest of the week ahead, everybody. Take care and bye-bye.
Just like backyard barbecues or a day at the pool, the Three Rivers Festival has always been a part of our summer fun. And the festival returns July 12th to the 20th. It kicks off with the annual Three Rivers Festival Parade. Browse art in the park with local artisans. Bring the family to Children's Fest. Stroll through Junk Food Alley. And don't forget about the festival concerts at the Hoosier Lottery stage with live music from nationally renowned acts. You can buy your concert tickets or check out a schedule of events at threeriversfestival.org. Don't miss the best summer experience in Fort Wayne, the Three Rivers Festival.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.